How firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in his excellent word. What more can he say than to you he has said? To you who for refuge to Jesus have fled. Fear not, I am with thee, O be not dismayed, for I am thy God, I will still give thee aid. I'll strengthen thee, help thee, and cause thee to stand, upheld by my gracious, omnipotent hand.
Good morning and welcome to Holding Fast to Faithful Word, a radio ministry of Bible Way Baptist Church right here in Auburn. This is Pastor Tim thanking you for joining us this morning for the preaching of God's Word. The title of our lesson this morning is Personal Soul Winning. It's a second in a series on steps for new converts. And we'll begin in Acts chapter 5, verse number 42, where the Bible says, "And daily in the temple and in every house they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." The church in Acts, like the church at Thessalonica, understood the import of preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. So important that they went daily. They went house to house, teaching and preaching Christ and Him crucified. Talk about a church militant. They were not deserters. They were not modernists or liberals. They were not ashamed of the gospel. They were the vanguard for the gospel, a powerful force for the uncompromised advancement of the gospel of Christ. Listen, a local church with a heart for souls can become the epicenter for revival. That is, individuals like yourselves, who are obedient to the Great Commission, can make a difference. These folks were not spasmodic. They were driven to preach Christ and Him alone, both in season and out of season, motivated out of a love for Christ and desire to rescue the perishing, and with all the authority of heaven behind them, they set out to do just that. But herein lies the great challenge, and this on a personal level, the task of confessing Christ before men, not just some lackluster casual approach, but with boldness, clarity, and steadfastness. It must equal or succeed that of the world and the adversary. I think of the Russellites, Mormons, Adventists, and other cults who are hard at work pounding the pavement for the son of perdition. Why aren't God's people pounding the pavement for the Son of God, Jesus Christ? We cannot forget the atheist and humanistic approaches and doctrines that are making many inroads into every facet of our culture, turning men's minds away from the truth. Souls are skidding toward hell with blinders on, with no or very little thought about their current condition or the fate that awaits them. The world continues to slip deeper and deeper into a morass of immorality and godlessness, young people, middle-aged people, and older people engaging in activities openly and flagrantly with no shame or fear of God before their eyes. Drunkenness, fornication, drugs, gambling, and other reproaches prevail in areas where there are churches that claim to love the lost and believe the Bible. Whatever happened to the church militant? There might be talk of revival. Occasionally, there might be a prayer lifted up about revival. There might be a meeting about a revival, but nothing more. Nothing advances past just small talk. Leonard Ravenhill says, "Revival tarries because of a cheapening of the gospel. We now have church hymns played strictly to dance tempo on dance records and over the radio, as well as in churches. We have the precious blood of Jesus set to boogie-woogie time. Imagine we have the Holy Ghost syncopated." With this type of activity in many churches today, it is no wonder America is on the verge of moral bankruptcy. What can you do? How do you as an individual Christian fit into God's plan? Can one person make a difference? Sure, I believe one person among many can, because one person made a difference for me, Jesus Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 20, "Now then we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God did beseech you by us, we pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God." Once you got saved, you became an ambassador for Christ. You have been given a message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so now, with that message, we must go out into this world, a completely foreign element, or many of you, and preach Christ and Him crucified. We ask, well, it might be too late. Is it really too late for anything to be done? Are we so far behind the curve that a revival is impossible? Do we then resign ourselves to a spirit of defeat, close up our Bibles, put away the gospel tracts, and just ride out the storm? I think not. We come to the matter of personal work. And among the many expressions you may hear, soul-winning, evangelism, outreach, to name a few, this is the work that deals with people face-to-face about their condition. You will be called upon many times to deal with men, women, and children, right where they're at. You will be confronted and confronting drunkards, drug addicts, skeptics, atheists, humanists, unbelievers, and of course the bottom line in all of this, sinners. Souls that are on the threshold of hell and in dire need of Christ. There are some, more today I think, that think it beneath them to do this type of work. They come up with every excuse imaginable not to do what is commanded of them from the Bible. Tell others about Christ. To show no interest in sharing the gospel and going soul winning is to be disobedient to the commands of Christ. Churches today have been programmed to think personal evangelism is out of vogue. We've got all the purpose-driven and seeker-sensitive stuff out there now. The old-fashioned gospel preaching and getting out there with the Bible and gospel tracts and telling people how to get saved and confronting sin where it's at and dealing with people where they're at, that's out of vogue now. And now they've got all kinds of counseling programs and feel-good type ministries to try and woo people in. My friends, the real need is not another purpose-driven book, not another seeker-sensitive program. The real need for sinners is Christ. The genesis behind social reform, if we're to see it at all, must be the Word of God being preached publicly. Listen to what Charles Spurgeon has to say on the subject of soul winning and its impact. Christian men and women, nothing but the gospel can sweep away social evil. Vices are like vipers, and only the voice of Jesus can drive them out of the land. The gospel is the great broom with which to cleanse the filthiness of the city. Nothing else will avail. Will you not, for God's sake, whose name is every day profaned, seek to save some? My friends, the change starts with you. Are you up for it? The advantages far outweigh any excuse you can come up with not to do it. First, it must be realized that all can do it. Oh, sure, you can come up with any excuse possible, but all can do it and should do it. I've seen young boys and girls holding signs for Jesus, handing out gospel tracts, confronting the lost with the gospel and the good news that Jesus Christ died for their sins. I've seen elderly folks make a traumatic impact in nursing homes and in church and other places as well. Some of the older saints, in fact, have enough zeal to go around when it comes to telling others about Jesus Christ. You don't have to have a degree, or you don't have to graduate from a seminary. All that you need is the Bible. It's not the wisdom of men. It's the power of God unto salvation. Secondly, it can be done anywhere. This is not just a church thing or the pastor's job. This command goes out to all of God's people. You can tell someone about the gospel on a plane, a train, a bus, a car. You can talk with the waiter at the restaurant, the doctor, coworker, somebody walking down the street. You can go into a nursing home. You can go to a jail, town common, any place where sinners gather together. In fact, when I started many years ago, it was at the Worcester Galleria with a brother who still goes down there to this day. The bottom line is this: anywhere there is people, you can share the gospel. Thirdly, since God is no respecter of persons, neither is his word, all classes of people can and should hear the saving message of Christ's redemption. Don't assume that everybody's saved. Don't assume that because somebody lives a clean, moral life that they're saved. They need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. If they haven't been born again, they need to be born again. It's not by the works of righteousness which they have done, but according to his mercy, he saves them. The gospel of Christ meets the needs of every person and is able to save to the uttermost. The Wall Street man, right down to the regular Joe, can and should hear about Jesus Christ. The drunkard on the park bench can hear about Jesus Christ. The person given over to crack or cocaine or any other vice can and should hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. All these programs that are out there today, these rehabilitation programs, they have a high recidivism rate, and there's no fruit from that. And people are going out to Alcoholics Anonymous and all these other programs, and it's not profiting them spiritually. It might help them clean up their act somewhat, but it certainly isn't going to help them spiritually and gain any favor with God. Soul winning must be our supreme duty as individuals. It's not some outdated relic limited to the past. It is needful now. This generation is the one that matters. And in the words of Paul, "Woe unto me if I preach not the gospel." We must impress upon the minds of the lost their dire condition and their need for Jesus Christ as their Savior. Understanding that many churches today have gotten away from the biblical model of evangelism, it's no wonder that this is an area of challenge, particularly for new converts. And yet, once implemented, it is the greatest source of joy. There is no greater joy, my friends, than when you see a lost person come to their knees and receive Jesus Christ as their Savior, and to come up rejoicing, knowing their sins have been forgiven, their names written down in heaven, and they have a place of hope that they can call home. There is no greater joy than that. You will never experience anything greater than to see some lost soul, hurting soul, come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. All right, now to the task at hand. Where do we begin this lesson? It is important for those who are listening that you understand the first and foremost important prerequisite to personal work is that you must be born again. You cannot effectively tell others, and in many cases you won't, about Christ and how to be saved if you're not born again. The prior program, I went into detail on assurance, and particularly full assurance of understanding. So you've got to have a personal saving knowledge and confirmation that your sins have been forgiven and that you are saved. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 3 says this, "That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ." You see, you can only tell people what you've experienced. If you experience the new birth, then you'll be able to share the gospel of Jesus Christ effectively. You must have knowledge and confidence that your sins have been forgiven and that Christ nailed them to his cross. You cannot expect to convince others of having their sins forgiven if you haven't confidence that yours has. You must have knowledge and believe that Christ rose from the grave. This is very important. Romans chapter 10, verse number 9 says this, "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." The resurrection of Jesus Christ is an integral part of the gospel message, and you should not leave that part out. Romans chapter 1, verses 3 through 4 says this, "Concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." You see, he was proved to be the Son of God, the promised Messiah, by the resurrection of the dead. Notice 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 4. "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you." You see, now you have a living hope that surpasses anything the world has to offer because of Christ's resurrection. He went on before you. He conquered death. He conquered sin. He conquered the devil. And because of that, we can fall in behind him and have the same assurance. We now have a lively hope as a result of it. You see, the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of our hope. The resurrection puts a seal to what he said while he was here on earth. It's proof of the doctrine of the immortality of the soul and the glorification of the body, the future resurrection that we all wait. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 17 says this, "And if Christ be not raised, your faith is in vain, ye are yet in your sins." You see that? If Christ be not raised, you would still be in your sins. Your faith would be vain, and this preaching would be vain as well. You may as well not do anything at all. You may as well not compel anybody to get saved. Compel anybody to come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Why speak against anything that is immoral in the world? There's no such thing as sin. There's no such thing as the Bible. But you see, Christ rose from the grave, and so therefore he sealed all of that. All of those promises, all of those judgments, all of those admonitions, all of those things have been sealed by that resurrection. Nobody else can say that, my friends. Nobody else rose from the grave. Buddha didn't rise from the grave. Muhammad didn't rise from the grave. Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Therefore, he commands our obedience and our attention. You must approach the work with boldness. Do not be ashamed of the gospel, but rather be bold. Now, boldness can take on a number of fashions. We can be bold to live it. We can be bold to speak it. And we can be bold to stand for it. And all of these, in one degree or another, must accompany the new believer as they go forward with the gospel. We are told in Scripture not to be ashamed of the gospel. Romans chapter 1, verse number 16, the Bible says, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation." Remember, now, it's not your power, it's not the will of the flesh, it is the power of God that saves people. The gospel is offered unto all. Christ died that all men might be saved. We're to go into the all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel is offered unto all, but it is the power of God unto salvation to them that believe. Romans chapter 5, verses 5 through 6 says this, And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. The hope of the Christian is certain. Therefore, it removes shame and emboldens them to a faithful service. And of course, this is stimulated by a love of God. God's love for you and your love for Him because of His great mercy, His great forgiveness, His great grace in your life. Romans chapter 10, verse number 11 says, For the Scripture saith, Whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. You see, the gospel has such an effect on us as Christians. His grace, His mercy, His forgiveness, it puts a whole different light on religion. It puts a whole different light on who Jesus Christ is, what He did for us, and what He's going to do at a future time. You could never be ashamed of that great name and Savior, Jesus Christ, when you meditate upon these things. And then you must pray before approaching people. And there'll be much more said on the subject of prayer in future lessons, but suffice it to say, there is a need for prayer as we are entering into a work that has many conflicts. Colossians chapter 4, verse number 3 says, With all praying also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds. Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 18 says, Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Paul here enjoins the church to pray not only for himself, but for others as well. And as we go together in the name of Christ as ambassadors, we must always remember to pray for one another, to ask God to protect us, to give us wisdom and knowledge, to give us courage, to give us boldness, and to give us utterance, the words that He would have us speak in any given situation. And no two situations are alike. And when you begin this work of evangelism, when you're going out there and telling others about Jesus Christ, you're going to find that the oppositions to the gospel vary. And so therefore, the answers that you'll give will vary based on those oppositions. But you want to pray for utterance. You want to pray that God will put His word of wisdom in your mouth and give you those scriptures to speak in those various encounters that you will have. You also want to have the liberty to preach the gospel of Christ boldly. You don't want to enter into the field fearful. You want to go boldly. You want to be confident. You want to have confirmation. You want to have conviction as you go forward, telling sinners how to be saved. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you. Here is the request that the word of God will go out unhindered. And there's a lot of opposition to the word of God out there because of the humanistic mindset in many of the school systems, because of skepticism put out by various colleges and institutions and so forth. There's a lot of opposition out there and a lot of people opposing the preaching, the public preaching of God's word. But you know what, my friends? We'll pray that His word will be able to go out without being hindered. And in that, God will be glorified. He'll be glorified by the preaching of that word. He'll be glorified by your steadfastness in proclamation of that word. He'll be glorified by the conversation and conduct that you have. He'll be glorified when His word is spoken forth and sinners repent of their sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and are saved. You see, those are some very important things, and many churches have gotten away from that today. They've forgotten what the real mission of the church is, to glorify God. You should also have a working knowledge of the Bible. Remembering that your Bible is the final authority in all matters of faith and practice, this will be your primary resource as you go forward sharing the gospel. But not only must it be your resource, you must believe it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse number 13, the Bible says, For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when ye received the word of God which ye heard of us, ye received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth the word of God. Now note, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. You see, the Word of God needs to be believed in order to have any effect in your life. The Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of joint and marrow. So the Word of God is very important for the believer, and it's very important that you believe it. Don't approach it with skepticism and unbelief. Approach it with the with the certain fact and confirmation and conviction, be fully persuaded that it's the Word of God that you're out there preaching. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so here is your challenge as a believer, as a new convert, to study God's word, to show yourself approved unto him, a workman, not ashamed of the word of God, not ashamed of studying God's word, not ashamed of the preaching and teaching God's word, one who's diligent in his studies, who wants to make application, and who wants to tell others about the saving message of Jesus Christ. Notwithstanding the work of the Holy Spirit, the Bible is to be your primary resource when engaging the lost. And here are a couple of reasons why. Romans chapter 10, verse number 17, the Bible says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Now, we cannot hope to see the lost get saved if God's word is not preached, which is a big problem today in many churches because the Bible's closed and churches have gotten into the entertainment and amusement business rather than the saving of souls business, the business of the Great Commission, that is. The Word of God has regenerative powers. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." And so you can kind of see the importance of memorizing Scripture and preaching Scripture and teaching the Word of God, showing sinners from the Bible their need for salvation, their need for Jesus Christ, their need for assurance, and be able to build upon those things a little bit after you talk to them. Here are some other considerations for the young convert when sharing the Word of God. You must be able to show them their need for a Savior, show them their sin, show them their condition, show them their destiny. You must be able to show them how to be saved using the Scriptures. Many people will go over to Romans chapter 10. I like the first epistle of John chapter 5, verse number 13 myself, to be able to follow up with instruction on the Christian graces, to talk to them about how to pray and study their Bible, what kind of church to go to, what kind of Bible to get. There's a lot of confusion about Bibles out there today. Be able to show them and point them in the right direction so that they might get a good Bible. And we'll talk about that in future lessons. The last consideration on soul winning is that it is a command. The Bible leaves no room for excuses in this regard. Everyone is required to give a testimony about Christ and the change that has taken place in their life as a result of being born again. And the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." And so here we see right off, be ready. You must be ready. At a moment's notice, you could be called upon to give a testimony about your faith. So there needs to be preparation and expectation. You need to prepare your testimony. Prepare your heart by sanctifying God in your heart. Number two, you must be able to give an answer. Don't dawdle around with the truth. Tell them what Christ did for you. Tell them how Christ forgave you for your sins, how Christ restored peace in your life, how Christ gave you hope, how Christ gave you eternal life. Tell them that. Tell them the basis of the hope that you have, the hope that is well grounded upon the promises of God, these promises purchased and sealed by the blood of Jesus Christ. As we bring this message to a close, here are some practical things to consider when sharing the gospel. Several ways to share the gospel. It's not limited to just the church. We can go into the highways and byways of life wherever there are people. You can share Christ in a nursing home ministry, and some churches have a nursing home ministry. Maybe you've never participated. Might be a good time to do that the next time your church goes out and minister to those folks there. They do appreciate it when churches come in and sing the old hymns and preach from the old book and tell them about Jesus Christ. You can meet people at the town common, city hall, or most parks. And of course, now with winter here, it's very hard to meet people like that. Most of the time, we're down in front of City Hall, Worcester City Hall, and there's a lot of people that come and go in front there, getting on and off their buses and so forth, and we have had a great success, praise be to God, for many souls have gotten saved and come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior and been encouraged. Many Bibles have been given out and so forth. Those are good opportunities for you, but when the spring comes, you can go into the parks and walk up to people on the bench and just start up a conversation concerning spiritual matters and be able to share with them Christ and show them how to get saved. Restaurants are great places to leave a track. You could possibly speak to the waiter about spiritual things, maybe the condition of their soul. Maybe before you pray over the meal, you could ask them if they have any prayer concerns, and you'd lift them up during your time of prayer over the food. You can do it in your local church. Don't assume that every visitor that comes in is saved. In most cases, they're probably not. Give them a track, start a conversation, inquire about spiritual matters, see where the conversation leads, and show them from the Bible how they can know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Sometimes you can even do it at work. Sometimes the discussion can be directed in such a way as it will allow you to speak of the hope that you have within you and be able to show your coworkers the true faith and the true love that Jesus Christ has. And so, as we bring this message to a close, please remember to tune in next week. As Bible believers, we must continue to hold fast the faithful word in an unfaithful world. Thank you again for joining us, and if you are in the area, please drop by and pay us a visit. We are located on the corner of Oxford and Hurd Streets in Auburn, and if you want more information on our church and related ministries, please check out our website at www.biblewaybc.org. Thank you, and remember to be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
When through fiery trials thy pathway shall lie, my grace all sufficient shall be thy supply. The flame shall not hurt thee, I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. Even down to old age all my people shall prove my sovereign, eternal, unchangeable love. And when hoary hairs shall their temples adorn, like lambs they shall still in my bosom be born. The soul that on Jesus still leans for repose, I will not desert to his foes. That soul, though all hell should endeavor to shake, I will never